Thank God you might steal our gold, but our treasure's in heaven, ain't it? Amen. Thank God. If you got your Bible, let's open up and we'll be looking in the book of 1 Kings chapter number 13. 1 Kings chapter number 13. You able to find that place? Let's stand if you're able as we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And if not, while you reverence Him in your heart, pray for us that the Lord help us this morning. And we do want to certainly honor the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Kings chapter number 13. 1 Kings chapter number 13, and I'm going to be reading around just a little bit for the sake of time, but I'll start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse number 1, He said, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord, and unto Bethel and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, and Josiah by name, said, upon thee shall he offer the priests in the high places that burn incense upon thee. He said, men's bones shall be burned upon thee. Verse 3 said, and he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 7. Bible said, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself. I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was so charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way. Verse 11 said, and there dwelled an old prophet in Bethel. Skip down with me if you will in verse number 14. He said he went after the man of God, found him sitting under an oak. And he said, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? He said, I am. He said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will drink water with thee there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said, I am a prophet also as thou art. An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Notice the last verse I'll read. Verse number 19 says, so he went back with him. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this evening. This morning, God, and we thank you, Lord, for everything we've heard and felt so far today. Thank you for the good Sunday school hour. God, we thank you for the choir singing. Thank you for those good songs that remind us of how big our God is. Lord, reminds us of how little we are. God, how dependent we are on you. And to thank God, Lord, I'm glad. And Lord, as they sang that last song, just reminded over and over again, this world is not our home. And thank God we're only passing through. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that we're pilgrims and strangers in this world. And God, we're looking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker's God. I pray for a few moments of time, Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross. Keep my eyes and my heart fixed on you. And Lord, I pray against any distraction. Ask you, Lord Jesus, just to help us how to deliver the message. And God, as you put it in our heart, Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for everything you've done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. And we'll look at, no doubt, through a lot of this passage of Scripture. And I hope that God will help us how to bring out a little. I try not to tell very many stories. A lot of them probably embarrass my kids and all that sort of thing. But there was one time particular I was thinking about as I was preparing for this message. And it's been about 2 years ago. I took all the boys out, took them to the fair. And you know, Dad's too cool for everybody, so they don't want to hang out with me, you understand? And so they had all their friends, and they're all going everywhere, Brother Jones. And I got to watching my oldest, Davis. And the Davis was over here, and I saw him, Brother Jordan, all of his little soccer buddies over here. And I went, and he just looked like he was a lonesome. I said, Davis, won't you go over there and hang out with him? This is what he said to me, Brother Jones. He said, Dad said, I can't go over there. He said, they're using bad language, and they're using foul language. And he said, I'd just rather stay over here by myself and to be over there. And the Lord got to deal in my heart about that thing. And I thought, thank God, there's some crowds I just can't go with. Amen. If the Lord helpless. That's what I want to preach on this morning. Only some crowds I just can't go with. Amen. That's not it. Listen, I wish everybody do right. Don't you think so? I mean, if everybody do right, I thank God we could all walk together and to go serve God. But thank God there's a line of difference between those that are clean and those that are unclean, between what's right and what's wrong, between what's been sanctified to God and what's still in the world. And I'm telling you, friend, hey, some crowds that I just can't go with. Amen. I get to this passage of scripture, and every time I read it, I get to thinking about these a few times in my Bible. And I mean, there's probably more than just a few, but there's a few times in the Bible. And whenever I get to it, and Brother Jones, I know it's coming, and it grieves me to my heart to read what I'm about to read. I don't like to read Judges 19 too much. I'll be honest with you, Brother Scotty. Every time I get to my Bible reading, and I get in Judges 18, and I know the very next chapter, what's going to happen is there's going to be a little lady, a little old cocky behind, and she's going to get her hand on the threshold of the door, and that's as close as she's going to get. And Gavin, it grieves me to my heart every time I read it. I think about when I get to reading over there about the sweet psalmist of David and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And boy, I don't know about nobody else, but every time I get to that passage where it says that David was upon his roof and he spied Bathsheba, and I find myself every time I read my Bible saying, please, David, don't do it. I mean, listen, I know what's coming, and it grieves me to my heart every time I read it. And Brother Josh, every time that I get over there, Kevin, and I get to reading about the Peter and my friend, I see him out there warming himself by the fire, Kim, I get to thinking, please, Peter, don't deny the Lord. And every time I read it, it just rips my heart out. Oh, there's some passages, and when I read them, they grip my heart so much, I find myself saying, please don't do it. And right here's one of those passages, and we find this fella, and my friend, verse number 19, that's one of those verses that's as sad to me as any verse in the Bible. And it said, so he went back. So he went back. Oh, listen, I want to say this to you tonight. My friend, there's some crowds I ain't a-going with. I want you to listen. If the Lord will help me, and by the grace of God, I'm going to be preaching on this for a little while, for several services, on some crowds that I just can't go with. Amen. I think it's more needful in our day where we're standing to understand. Hey, look here, friend. I wish I could go and hang out. I wish I could go, thank God. But the truth of the matter is, when God bursts something down on the inside of your heart, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, there's some places you can't go. There's some things you can't do. There's a restraining force. I call the Holy Ghost of God on the inside, and it just won't let you go with some crowds. Amen. Oh, listen, let me point out to you just a few things about this. This feller here, he's a nameless servant. He's not like his crowd today. And Joe, he's not like his crowd today. And they're out there trying to create a name for themselves. And they want to, you know, I understand what I'm talking about. And they're not interested in the name of Christ. And they're interested in how popular their name can be. And they want their names on websites, on postcards. Hey, listen, above the marquee. And they want, they got more titles today. I heard a fellow the other day say this. I said, in our day, preachers have more degrees than they've ever had. And another fellow said, yeah. He said, and so does a thermometer, and it can still be ice cold. Amen. How you can have all the degrees you want, and to thank God they'll not help you, and not one bit, when it comes to the touch of God. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. We find right here this fella. He's a nameless man. But I'll tell you what I know about him. I know he's God's man. I'll tell you how I know it. It says 15 times that he is a man of God. And the only time you'll ever find, and the only person in this whole Bible tie that ever carries a title more that he's a man of God than this man is Elisha. That's pretty good company right there. I mean, that's pretty good company. Amen. If the only two people that's referred to that many times as a man of God's Elisha and this nameless servant. Yes, he is a God's man. Amen. And I thank God he had God's message. I like what the Bible said. Notice in verse number 2 of chapter 13, and said, and he cried against the altar. And now watch this. Yeah, the word of the Lord. This fella here, look here, he wasn't preaching smooth things. What he had to say wasn't popular. He was a crying against some pain, Brother Blake. How many days, thank God. I wish every time I got to come to the house of God, I wish I got to preach on the four hallelujahs of heaven. I wish I got to preach on the street of gold and the new Jerusalem. Everybody acts like the preachers don't ever want to preach on that. And no, that's simply not the case. I love nothing more than thank God and come to the house of God. And every service we get in here, and we just talk about what's waiting on the other side. But as long as we're here, thank God, hey, some things need to be cried against. Amen. And I want you to watch this particularly. I don't want nobody to die on me right here. How about we know what he's crying against? Let's get back to chapter number 12. He's crying against the worship and that has been set up. He set up there two golden calves. Oh, Jeroboam did. He put one in Bethel and he put one in Dan. Here's what the Bible said in chapter 12, verse 28. He said, whereupon the king took counsel and he made two calves of gold. And he said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. And the first thing I can tell you he cried against was convenient worship. Amen. And now listen to me, friend. I think if there's one thing we got to battle against in our day, it's that folks only want to worship when it's convenient for them. Amen. And that's what he did here. And you understand there's only one place to worship. Brother Benny, that's down in Jerusalem. That's where the priest is at. That's where the tabernacle's at. That's where God meant for them to worship. Amen. At the temple in this day. But boy, they didn't like that. He said, here's what we'll do. We'll set up two more golden calves. And you won't have to travel so far just to go worship him. And we want to make it easy on you, man. And so in our day we find, you understand, we want to make services easy, especially getting summertime. You know, we want to make them easy. They say, preacher, let's keep them high and tight. Let's start at 11 o'clock. And we want to get out at 12. We got golf times. We've got lake times. Hey, listen, we still want to worship the Lord. But help us get on about our day. Thank God this is our day, amen. That's to worship of the Lord, thank God. Oh, listen, you better believe it. And our day, whatever. Praise God, I'm about to preach myself happy, amen. I mean, we get in our day, everybody stand around, and they want it to be convenient. They want it to be at a convenient time. And what if we move the time back to, let's say, 6 a.m. and 7 a.m.? And thank God that'd be inconvenient. And we want to have it at a convenient time. And we want to have it in a convenient way. And thank God, we don't want to go too far. We don't want to do too much. And we want to just keep doing what we're doing. And so he's a crying against it. And watch this, not only is he crying against, have a convenient worship. But notice the next thing. He said, behold thy gods. And these were not thy gods. I'll tell you what he's crying against. He's crying against customizable worship. I want you to listen to me. I think one of the great tragedies of America is we think we can customize worship how to fit our own lifestyles. Amen. And look at, say amen right there. That's right. Amen. Thank God. We're the Burger King generation. I think we can have it our way. But worship does not work like that. My friend, it'll come God's way. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. Amen. And not might, not perhaps. Thank God those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You can't have one without the other. I mean, they go together. Thank God. Hey, listen, friend, you can't be. And we live in a day when folks is all spirit. And you talk to them, thank God. I mean, on this side, Brother Tony, they like to shout it out and shed tears. And thank God, listen. I mean, it's emotional and they get happy. And they run the house. But if you ever were to stop them and ask them anything about the doctrine of Christ, they don't have no idea about nothing. And they're fueled on emotion. And then on the other side over here, we got this crowd, you know, they're the huff and puff crowd. And they keep their arms crossed. And they know everything about everything. I mean, they know all the doctrines. They know who's right and who's wrong and why they're right and why they're wrong. I bet you couldn't so much as get a holy grunt out of that crowd. They wouldn't want to worship, thank God. I mean, they're not interested in doing nothing for God. And both sides are ditches, amen. And we ought to have some truth. And that truth ought to help our spirit. That spirit ought to help that truth. And between the two of them, we get to worship God, amen. Weren't that good? Thank God. Get to come to the house of God. Worship God in spirit. And in he's crying against it. Help me listen. Thank God for it. I find so many times, I don't want to chase too many rabbits. And Brother Scotty, he said the other night, he didn't want to chase one. Every now and then I'll get after one if he's big and fat. Amen. I'll chase him right in the hole. Thank God. I mean, where we're saying that in our day, we try to customize our God. And we try to make our God based on the imagination of our own hearts. And it rarely matches up with the God of the Bible. Amen. And the God of the Bible. Listen here. If we understood at 1/1000th of how holy a God he is, it would straighten every life in here up. Amen. I mean, if we understood what's going to be required of us, for the Bible says, for we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. If we understood what was going to be waiting on us, it'd change how we worship. Amen. Now listen, I want you to watch this. He's crying against convenient worship. And then he's crying against customizable worship. And then the Bible said this in the next verse, verse 31 down there. He said he made a house of high places, and he made priests of the lowest of the people. You know what they want to do right there? And just a company, you know what they had to do it? Here's what they did. They said, let's get us a man and let's put him in the pulpit and let's make him wicked and let's make him worse than we are. That way nobody has to come in and feel bad about nothing. About time you start feeling bad about something, you say, well, I would feel bad about that, but I know my preacher up there, he's the cheating on his wife, he's the swindling everybody, he's not paying his bills. And so now you can just sit back and you see. Now here's the problem. I do my best. My wife sitting right over there. My mom and my dad. I try to pay all my bills. Try to be honest as I can be. But I'm going to tell you this, friend. At the end of the day, you can justify or exonerate your life based on me. But I am not the measuring stick. You will stand before a thrice holy, fiery-eyed God. And that's who you'll give an answer to. Amen. Make sure you're right with him. Amen. His measuring stick's his son. Hey, the Bible teaches us his holy, harmless, undefiled, as separate and sinners made higher than the heaven. And the one who said, be ye therefore holy, for I am holy. I'm telling you, that's who you're measured up against. And the only hope you have is the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. His fellow here, I mean, he's crying against it. He's got a message of God. He's the man of God. Oh, look here. He's seen the miracles of God. Oh, Jeroboam gets ready. This makes me happy. I'd like to see this sometime. Oh, Jeroboam gets ready to grab a hold of him. And he stretches out his hand. And it said when he stretched out his hand withered up. He couldn't get a hold of him. Amen. And thank God, that's right. He had seen the altar bust. He had seen the ashes burn. I mean, this man had seen a miracle upon miracle from God. This is God's man. And yet he went back. Are you listening to me? This is God's man. God's man, God's message, seeing God's miracles, and yet he went with the wrong crowd. Oh, I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning, friend. I mean, you can have everything right in your life, and thank God, have every T dotted. You can grow up in the right church, have the right Bible, know the right things, and still go the wrong way. Amen. I better be very careful, thank God. Hey, listen, evil communication, corrupt good manners. Amen. I mean, listen, friend. And the Bible teaches us we ought to mark them which cause division and walk contrary to us and avoid them, the Bible said. In other words, thank God, we ought not even yoke up with a crowd that looks like they're different than what the Bible says. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. I want you to watch this. I'm going to give you a few things. I want you to watch how this feller gets in here, and I hope with the help of the Lord. I understand. Listen, it'll probably get quieter as the day goes on. You pray for me, and I'll try to preach just exactly what I feel like the Lord wanted me to do. I want you to see, and particularly our youngins today, I want you to watch how this man convinces him to go the wrong way. And watch the Bible said there, if you will, in the 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 18, the Word of God says this. He said unto him, I am a prophet as thou art. Amen. In other words, this is what he's saying. He said, look here. And the king tried to offer it. He said, I want you to stay. I want you to eat bread. I want you to drink water tight. I want you to refresh yourself in my house. But thank God, he said, no, sir. He said, the word of the Lord said, I've got to get out of this place. But now all of a sudden somebody showed up, and this is what they said. They said, me and you's the same. And we're the same. He said, I'm a prophet, and you're a prophet, and we're the same. Amen. And look here, friend. And just because they say they're the same, that does not make them the same. Amen. Many a times I've had on my door, on my business, it'll be knock, knock, knock. Amen. I open the door, and there stands a Jehovah's Witness. And the Jehovah's Witness says this. I say, well, at least we can agree on this. And we're both Christians. Amen. And that what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it to where you and them are the same. But we are not the same. Amen. And they don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ. That was very God indeed. And if he's not very God, friend, he couldn't save you from your sin. He's not just the Son of God. Hey, listen, thank God. He is God. Amen. Now, things that are different are not the same. Amen. I don't care. Look at me, friend. We live in a time of ecumenicalism. I want everybody to listen to me real carefully. I want you to understand. When we say ecumenicalism, what I mean is this. You know, they'll come around and they'll say, well, after all, we're serving the same Lord. And we're serving the same. We're Christians. And just like you're Christians. But Brother Cole, that's just simply not the case. Amen. Hey, listen, all I know to tell you is this. If they're not believing the God of that Bible, there is another Jesus being preached. There's another way of salvation being performed. And then that's not our crowd. And we ought to stay away from it. Amen. I ain't going with it. I catch you. Listen, I know everybody in here thinks that, you know, everybody likes me and all that sort of thing. That's simply not the case. Amen. And probably even in Jamestown, Tennessee, there's times I'll get phone calls and they'll say, Brother Kevin, they'll say, we're all going down here and we want you to load up your church and come down here. And I'll always say this, who's it going to be there? Amen. And then they start listening, who's going to be there? And I say, we ain't coming. And we ain't coming. And they'll say, and this is what they think. They think that we think that we're better than them. That's not the case. That's not what I think, Brother Crabtree. But what I do think is I think that we've got some like this one right here. And I've got some like them sitting right there. And some like them sitting right there. And I got them all around this church. And I got some like what Miss Haley's got standing her shoulders there. And the little Dustin newborn, born again, and Christian. And I am not, the Bible says, God is not the author of confusion. And if God's not going to author it, thank God I'm not going to endorse it. Amen. I mean, thank God. I say, and you say, preacher, you'll be an isolationist. I'll tell you what I'm going to be. I'm going to try to be a biblicist. I'm going to try to obey the Bible and the best way I can. And it doesn't make any difference if there's five people or 500. And we're just going to try to follow the Lord according to the scripture. Hey, listen, without fear or favor of man. Amen. It doesn't matter, thank God, if you're against us. It don't matter if you want to be our friend. But I'm telling you how that crowd works here. As they say, we're all the same. But thank God, listen, we're not. Amen. Not the same. I'm not saying ever. Look here, there's all kinds of Baptist churches we fellowship with. There's all kinds of other people I think saved. That's not my point. It's not my point this morning. But there's some crowds you need to stay away from. Stay away from that crowd that goes against the Word of God. This man of God had the Word of God. Amen. He had it. And this fellow showed up, and the first thing he did was try to befriend him. He said, well, let's be friends. And we all believe the same thing after all. Let's just be friends. Well, listen, look at me. I'm honest with you. I'm trying not to be mean-spirited this morning. I don't want to be your friend. Amen. If you're going against the Word of God, I'm not much interested in being your friend. And you say, well, Brother Kevin, what about sinners? Let me remind you, Jesus Christ went after sinners. But listen, he slept with the disciples. Amen. How they spent all their time. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, we'll go after sinners, but when it comes time to fellowship, thank God, I think we ought to be the same. I think the Bible supports it. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed. Amen. Do you think that's right? I mean, first thing they'll do is they'll try to befriend you. They'll say, now listen, we all believe the same thing. And then they'll open up their Bible and they got six extra books in the middle of it. Well, listen to me. If you got six extra books and one of them's about Bell and the Dragon or Ecclesiasticus or one of them, but look here, friend, we're not the same. Amen. I don't know how else to say it. Is that all right, Ty? Does that sound right? I
come and thank God we're not the same. Amen. If you come in the house of God and you think you can get filled up with the Spirit and all of a sudden start rattling out gibberish, we are not the same. Amen. I want to be very clear on that. And we're not the same. Amen. I just say, well, now, brother, how the Bible talks about talking in tongues. There's never a time in this book that it talks about talking in tongues that it's not in an understandable, a known language. Amen. It's always what's right, what's intelligible, and under the inspiration and the power of God. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, if you believe that, we're not the same. Amen. We're not the same. You think there's more than one way to heaven? We're not the same. I got a Bible. I don't care what you believe. Amen. We're not Catholics in the dark ages. I don't have to go on what you say. Amen. I've got a Bible, thank God. And I can read on a sixth grade reading level. And bless God, I got a Webster's 1828. It'll help me when I can't understand the word. Praise God, that makes me happy. I don't have to take the Pope's word for it. I don't have to take the preacher's word for it. I ain't got to take my Sunday school teacher's word for it. You ain't got to take my word for it. I got a Bible, go home and read it. Amen. And thank God, find it. I'll be a Berean. And search the scriptures daily whether those things are so or not. Amen. And the first thing they'll do is they'll befriend you. And the second thing they'll do, look here, they'll bewitch you. And the Bible says right after that in verse 18, he said, an angel spoke unto him. He said, and an angel has spake unto me by the word of the Lord. This is what he done to that little old man of God. And the Bible calls this prophet an old prophet. And so the old prophet comes up and he looks at the young prophet and he says, I'm older than you are. I've been on this way long. Than you are. And he said, I've seen more than you've seen. And I know you've got the word of God, but I got something else. I got the word of God and it came to me by an angel. Amen. And you know who that sounds like, don't you? Amen. I'm writing amen. Thank God. If Brother Adam was here, he'd be shouting amen this morning. I'll tell you what that sounds like. That sounds like that Mormon and them and golden tablets that came down out of it. He said an angel brought them to him and an angel took them back up. And thank God, I ain't got to go based on an angel. I've got, thank God, the message of God preserved forever. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? I don't got, look here, friend, I know I say some of this stuff a lot. We like to listen to Unshackled in my home. I don't know if anybody else likes that or not. I love that show. Me and my boys, we probably listen to about every Unshackled show that there is. How the only problem with Unshackled is every now and then you'll get some wonky testimony about somebody who's, you know, there's in a bar and all of a sudden the light shone down in heaven. Angel jumped on the bar stool. Angel started telling about the Lord just then. And they said, next thing I know, I saved. And I think, no, no. Look here, friend, listen. By grace, through faith, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ alone, that's the only means, that's the only mode God's ever provided. And you don't get nothing extra, amen. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Look up here at me. These folks, that they'll come along, they'll say, well, yeah, now I know you've seen some things, but you ain't seen what I've seen. I was preaching a funeral one time and a fella got talking about how the devil came into that. Now listen, I wish I could make some of this up, but my imagination is not good enough to make some of this up. A fella got preaching about, well, it says preaching, whatever you want to call it. And what he said was this. He said the devil came in the back door of the church and turned into a serpent and went up and down the aisles. And I thought, listen, and everybody out in the quiet, this is what bothered me, Brother Kyle. That's what bothered me. That fella's a saying that. And I'm sitting on the stage and I'm watching. It's a funeral. I don't know what it's got to do with the funeral. I'm sitting there and I'm watching it, and as I look back through the crowd, everybody back there is nodding their head just like his. Like that really happened. Hey, listen to me, friend. That did not happen, amen. Are y'all listening to me? That did not happen, amen. I thank God, and the fact that he believes it and that they believe it tells me they don't believe that, amen. Hey, listen, that's not how it happens, amen. Y'all listening? I don't care what they say. Kenneth Copeland, the rest of them, bunch of reprobates. Amen. Just take what they say, get your Bible out, go through the Bible, and when you find out they're a liar, just call them such and don't go with them. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Smile. First thing they'll do is they'll try to befriend you and then they'll bewitch you. Talk about how they've got all these extra. Cohen, listen to me. Blakely, hey, listen to me. Zach, son, Elijah, listen to me. Y'all listen to me. You don't get nothing extra. It comes through this Bible right here. Isn't that right? And thank God. What you get's what God said you. He never told one person in the New Testament Not one person in the Gentile dispensation did he ever say, tell you what I'm going to do. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let an angel, and he's going to come down. He's going to take you all this stuff, and you need to believe him. I'll tell you what the Apostle Paul told the church at Galatia. He said, though it would be us or an angel from heaven come and preach another gospel, he said, let him be cursed. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Bible says, even if an angel tells you something different other than what's in this book, don't believe it. Amen. Don't go with that crowd going against the Word of God. And then before long, listen, they'll befriend you, they'll bewitch you, then they'll beguile you. You know what the Bible says? I want you to watch this. Verse number 18, Bible says the last five words in that says, but he lied to him. You know what that means? He didn't have a word from God. He hadn't seen an angel. God never sent him. Praise God. What he done was he went after somebody that was doing right. And he tried to get them to go the wrong way with him. Are y'all you listening, Gage? Oh, and you listened? What he tried to do was this man of God was doing what was right. And all of a sudden this fella shows up, Bobby, and goes after him. And he said, let's go the wrong way. And that man that refused the king looked at this old prophet and he said, well, he has been on this road longer than I have. And he has seen more than what I've seen. Olivia, and he looked over here and he said, I'll tell you what. Surely he wouldn't have lied to me. I mean, he's an old prophet. He said, I believe I'll just go with him. And the Bible said, but he went back. And every time I read that, I think, why in the world would you ever trust some man's word over what God has clearly revealed in the Scripture? Why would you ever, friend, if God said this is the right way, why would you ever say, oh boy, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to go back with this crowd. I'm saying this because, listen, there's a crowd that thinks lottery playing and dice shooting and wine drinking, and all, they think that's all right. And my friend, in the Bible, very clearly and expressly forbids all of it. I'm telling you, for me and my house, we ain't going with that crowd. If that's the direction you're going, you're probably in the wrong place. Smile at me on that one. Amen. Now here's the question. I'm done. You give me, can I have 10 more, 34, 45, 50 more minutes of preaching? Can I preach till I get done? How's that? I mean, I promise you, as soon as I feel like the Lord wants me to hush, Stephen, I'll hush right there. But here's the question. How do you prevent going with the wrong crowd? If you ain't going to go with that crowd going against the Word of God, how do you stay away from them? Y'all listen to me? I'm gonna give you just a few things that God put in my heart, and I'm gonna be done. I want you to watch what your Bible says right here. The first thing I think you gotta do, you gotta be convinced of its authority. Are you listening to me? There's people. Boy, I'm telling you, whenever I was praying over this, Caden has got my heart. I believe probably at least 95% of the people in this church this morning, maybe more than that. I wish it was 100. But no doubt, 95% of the people in this church believe in the accuracy of this Bible. Do you believe that's right? There's less than 95% apparently that believes that's right. Y'all believe that's right? Amen. This is an accurate book. Y'all believe that's right? Amen. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you what's a shame is that we believe it's an accurate book, but we don't let the accurate book have authority in our lives. We know what it says is right. We know what it says is true, but we still go and do what we want to do. I'm going to tell you, friend, thank God, if we're going to stay away from that crowd, we got to be convinced not just of its accuracy, but we got to be convinced of its authority. What it says is right. The Bible would say it like this. Let God be true. And every man, a liar. Is that right? Is that right, Brother Neil? Let God be true. You got to be convinced of it. Now listen. If you come across something and you're reading it, and when you read it, this is a big assumption, but I'm assuming everybody's reading their Bible every day. I'm assuming it because the Lord told you to. Man alive, I told you, I knew it'd get a little quieter. So you can't believe in the accuracy of this book. Get over to 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, right, dividing the word of truth. You can't get over there in 1 Timothy where he said, hey, in my absence, give all exhortation and diligence under reading. An exhortation. You can't believe the accuracy of it and then not do it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I want you to listen to me. You get that part where you believe its accuracy, but you don't let it have its authority. You don't let it rule. You get to reading it, and then all of a sudden you come over here to this passage and you say, uh-oh, that's wrong in my life. Now listen, I'll tell you what you got to do right then. So as you come against a passage that's not right, you got to either say, let me get right, or I'm going to ignore it and do what I want to do. You can't live together and read this Bible. Everybody smile at me now. What I said's right. You can't get over there in Hebrews chapter 13. God, marriage is honorable and all, but the bed's undefiled, but whoremongers, adulterers and adulterers. God will judge. You can't get over there and think it's okay for us to live together. Is that right? Well, we was having us a time a minute ago. It's getting a little rougher here. I'm talking about how you stay away from that crowd that's not going the right way. You got to be convinced of the authority of the Word of God. Now, I want you to watch this. Not only that, you got to be careful of the adversaries. If you think the devil's going to show up and going to say, hey, I'm the devil, I'm going to try to shipwreck you. I'll tell you how the devil's shipwrecked a lot of our young men and young women with young men and young women. I've watched many a folk be running right hard for the Lord. Some little man, some little woman, whatever the case is, Joey. And that opposite sex over there that was appealing to the eyes, all of a sudden they thought, that's the one. I'll tell you how you know it's the one, if they're going the right way.
Amen.
God never has unequally yoked two people together. Not one time. Not one time. Now God might bless them. So you might take him your lemons and he might turn into lemonade. I don't know. But you can't read the Word of God. Well, I felt some resistance on this. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked altogether with unbelievers. Is that what it says or not? Let's go. See point one. You're not going to be convinced of its authority. It won't be long. You'll be going the wrong way. Now here we find this. Got to be careful of its adversaries. I'm going to give you three things. I want you to watch this, and I promise you, I'm getting ready to be done. Here's what you find. This, the Lord told him, he said, I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to eat bread. And he said, you just keep on going. I'll tell you when you got to be careful of your adversaries. When you're lonely. When you're hungry. And when you're tired. Things that you wouldn't normally do when you got company. When you're full, and when you ain't weak. Is that right, Dustin? We'll get young men, young women, old men, old women.
Yeah.
Things that they knows right. They won't do it sometimes when they get lonely. Oh, God help us right there. They start getting tired. And all of a sudden, the decisions they'd make whenever they're crystal clear, they'll make poor decisions when they're tired. Don't go with that crowd. Here's the last thing. Y'all watch your Bible. Stand to your feet and watch your Bible. I'm going to do both of those things at the same time. I'm going to give you this and I'm done. How? We don't go with that crowd. Here's what the Bible says. And I want you to watch very clearly verse number 14. He said he went after the man of God. And he found him sitting under an oak. Are you listening to me? Last thing I want you to say, you got to be committed to the assignment God gave you. God didn't tell him to sit and rest. He told him to get out of that place. He said, get out of it. And here's what I think in my mind. This is a Kevinism. I can't prove it, Trenton, but it's what I think. I think that he wasn't even halfway there. I'll tell you why I think that. Anytime I've been more than halfway somewhere, I've always went on home, ain't you? I think, well, I'm almost there now. But if I'm less than halfway, I'm apt to stop. I think he probably wasn't even halfway out of where he got to, and he thought, I'm just going to sit down and rest. And little did he know, when he sat down under that tree, there was a fella on his heels
that's about to get him to go the wrong way. You know what ended up happening to the man of God? Everybody look at me. This story don't end well. You know what ended up happening to him? The old prophet that lied to him really did get filled up with God. And he said, oh, you shouldn't have listened to me. He got up and saddled up his ass and took off, and he didn't even make it just a little ways down the road. The Bible says a lion devoured him. Lion kept, then just stood by the side, didn't even devour his carcass, just killed him. Why? Because he went with the wrong crowd. If there's a crowd going against the Word of God, boy, it'd be a good time to get away from that crowd. Y'all listen to me. If there's some mamas and dads in here that really love the Lord, I'll tell you, if there's one thing, you ought to be praying for your kids. You ought to be praying that they stay out of the wrong crowd. Hide them in the house as long as you can. Now listen to me. And if you're in the wrong way, you'll just draw a line in the sand this morning. Say, I've been going the wrong direction. But with the help of the Lord, I'm going to do what's right. Whoever's going to sing, Brother Donnie, come. Melissa, come. I've cleared my heart. Are you halfway there, settling down on the Lord, cooling down, settling down, sinking down, setting down? Won't be long. Won't be long.